Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word, which tells us clearly who you are. And I know, Lord Jesus, that not everybody in this room today is clear about who you are. And I just ask, Lord Jesus, now, that as we spend this time together in this place, that there will be no doubt as to who you are when we leave here. And I pray that only your voice is heard, not mine, but yours. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The cross of Jesus Christ, the greatest ever iconic symbol that the world has ever seen. You know, whatever you believe in this place today, there's nothing like it. Nothing has eclipsed the cross in over 2,000 years. And there's a very good reason for that. I read a quote by someone who, I'm sorry, who's I forgot to write the name down, and he said this: the cross rests on the timeline of history like some indestructible sparkling jewel. But it's a jewel with a difference, because yes, its truth and its purpose is an impossible to ignore beauty, but also there is a heart-wrenching and sickening sight in the cross, in its reality. You know, I was tortured over which pictures of the cross to put up there, and that's a very cleaned up version. But we've all seen, you know, the images of what would have really happened to Jesus on the cross, and it's a heart-wrenching, sickening sight. Thing is, we are all, every one of us, spiritually drawn to the foot of the cross. We're spiritually drawn to what happened on the cross. We're spiritually drawn to the person that was nailed to it, and it has the power to change our lives, has the power to change everything about us, and it has the power to change the very purpose of our life and why we're here. And you know what? We can pretend the cross isn't there. And many people do. We can look at it. We can walk away. We can close our eyes and hope that it goes away and we don't have to think about the cross. But you know, the cross never does fully go away, and it never will fully go away. And at some point in our lives, if that is how we treat the cross, we will have to come back again to it in some way. We have to, because we're designed to. We're designed to look at the cross and what Jesus did on the cross. And the cross of Jesus is here again today, and it's challenging us all in different ways, in some way. It challenges us to think about what we make personally of the cross, about what we make of Jesus Christ. And it challenges us to make a decision, if we haven't already, about the cross and about who Jesus is. And people react in different ways when they think about the cross, particularly when we see the images of the fullness of what happened to Jesus, like some of the scenes in the Passion of the Christ. So its cruelness and its violence, which is what it was, can make people look at it and question a loving God, as many people do. And they'll say, how can there be a God of love when that's allowed to happen? Surely even if this Jesus was the Son of God, surely there must have been another way than all that violence and all that suffering. But we know as believers that there truly wasn't any other way. There wasn't any other way. People who are in suffering, people who are in pain, can look at the cross and they can see the reality of what Jesus went through for each one of us. That they can see that this Jesus isn't aloof, that this Jesus knows what it's like to suffer, and that by looking at Jesus and looking at what he went through on the cross, we know that he can give us comfort, we know that he can give us strength, we know that he can give us healing because of what he went through. And we can look at the cross and we can see the trueness of the message of hope, we can see the forgiveness, we can see the peace that can be made with God in the truth of the cross, and that's attractive to all those that are searching and looking for answers. It certainly was for me, you know, to the answer of why I'm here. The cross is what took me to the truth, and the cross is what opened my eyes. The symbol of the cross itself, you know, throughout history, mankind has idolized it, mankind has despised it, mankind has gold-plated it, trashed it and burnt it. The bottom one on the right there is a recent one of ISIS dismantling a cross from somewhere. The cross has been worn as jewelry by many, many people, even though they don't even believe in Jesus. don't even believe in the cross. They wear it as jewelry. And history has done everything they can to and with the cross. But one thing that history can't do is ignore it. You can't ignore the cross. That's the one option that the cross of Jesus Christ does not offer. You can choose to do what you want with it, but you can't ignore its truth. You can't ignore its reality. You can't ignore that piece of wood on which hung, in fact, I'll go back to the other picture, piece of wood on which hung the greatest claim in the history of the universe. You know, that day when Jesus was hanging on that cross, to most people there, he was a man to most. He was a carpenter to some of them. And he'd been nailed to it, claiming that he is God on earth in flesh and bone, in our image, because we were created in his image, but he was still God. Nobody ever made that claim. In the scene from the Son of God movie, excuse me, I don't know if you've seen the Son of God. There's a clip that I wanted to show today, but I forgot to get it sorted, get it done. But as the cross is being lifted up, so Jesus has been nailed to the cross as it's lying on the floor. And then as the cross gets lifted up, and what they used to do is they used to lift it up, and then the bottom of it used to drop into a hole that it used to then stand in. And even when the cross used to drop down into the hole, some people were killed just by that alone, because of what it would do to the body, because of the way the body had been nailed to the cross. But as the cross gets lifted up in the Son of God, just a glimpse as it comes up and Jesus' cross comes towards the camera, there's a glimpse of a blue sky, you know, with these beautiful clouds strewn across it. There's a glimpse of the surrounding hills and the surrounding countryside, you know, and the beauty of the valleys. And just in that moment, it's a split second, and just in that moment, it hit me fresh in the spirit, right in the spirit, that the creator of all of that beauty, that blue sky, those clouds, the creator of nature and the beauty that we see around us, the creator of the very people that were punching him and whipping him and spitting in his face and laughing at him and jeering at him, the creator of all of that, who came to this earth to be like us, to show salvation through believing in him, so we would know life to the full on this earth, and then we would know an eternal life in heaven and not hell after this life. And our response as mankind, nail him to the cross. Nail him to the cross and kill him under the very skies that he created. It just blows my mind. Under the very skies that he created. To remember the hands that formed that cross, the hands that hammered the nails into the palms of his hands and his feet, were made by him. It's mind-blowing. And you know what? There was no other way. There was no other way for mankind to be redeemed. And Jesus cried out himself in the Garden of Gethsemane just to prove that he wasn't aloof to suffering. We just heard the scriptures. He basically said to his Father in heaven, if there is another way, let's do that in some way. You know, if there's another way, let this cup of poison, let this cup of what's going to happen be taken from me. However, he said, but if it's your will that I have to go to the cross, and it was, then your will be done. And so, knowing exactly what he was going to suffer, he went for me. I knew that was going to happen at some point. He went for me and he went for you. Whether you accept that today or not. Now, the cross blew all other claims of any false god apart with its power. The cross says that anybody's past, anybody's present, everybody's eternal future hinges on the cross. That the eternal destiny of every single individual that walks on this planet, their past can be dealt with, their present can change, and their eternal future hinges on that moment in time of the history of the universe. That crudely but effectively put together instrument of torture that Christ willingly allowed himself to be nailed to, that he hung on in agony beyond imagination, that we could even imagine until life finally left his body. That moment in the whole creation of the universe, the eternal destiny of every human being on this planet hinged on. Just indulge my imagination for a second. Well, this just came into my heart this week. I've gone the wrong way. There we go. You know, when you see the camera angles, when you see movies and things like that, and it's a shot of Earth from space, and then they'll do this thing where they're obviously going to get to a certain point on the Earth, and the camera starts to move forward, and the focus narrows. And I was just thinking about God looking down at Earth, and I was just thinking as the camera starts to zoom in, and the Earth narrows, and then eventually it's over the Middle East, and then eventually it's over Israel, and then eventually it's over Jerusalem, and then eventually it's over Golgotha, that dirty, dusty piece of land where this wooden cross is standing. And for me to think that God loved us so much that he would come down like that camera angle onto the earth, until that tiny piece of dusty land that you can't even see until, don't know how far above the earth it is, that moment will change the destiny of every person who walks on this planet. It just absolutely blows my mind. And if it's not the soul-winning, selfless act that the Bible says that it is and that I believe in, then it's the biggest, sickest joke that anybody ever played. And you know what? Here's the challenge today. That's the choice that we all have to make, because it's one or the other. It's either the soul-winning, selfless act that the Bible says it is and I believe in, or it's the biggest, sickest joke ever played. There is no in-between. And that's what we have to claim today before we leave this place. We have to claim that. We have to claim what we believe. There's overwhelming historical evidence now, archaeological evidence, to prove that a man named Jesus walked on this earth in the land of Israel and Jerusalem at the time that the Bible says he did. And there is evidence that this same Jesus was crucified by the Romans. Those people that dig for stuff. Scientists, whatever, that, you know, will agree that this man Jesus, there's a man named Jesus, existed on this earth in that place, in that time that the Bible states, and was crucified by the Romans. So there is no in between. Either he was and he is God, or he's a liar, but we have to make a decision on which one he is. And we have to claim it. Before you leave this building today, you need to claim it. Because none of us know how long we've got on this earth until we stand face to face with him. So the day that Jesus Christ was crucified, there was a crowd of people stood and watched. And they were all there for different reasons. And they all had different opinions on this man as they stared at the cross. And all of those people are still looking at this man on the cross today. And they're represented in us. They're represented in society. And they're represented through our opinions, through each person's opinion on this, in this world today. And so today I'm asking you a question: which one are you? And I want you to be sure before you walk out of here which one you are, and I want you to claim it. So there was those that loved Jesus. There was those that wanted to be near him that day as he was nailed to the cross. They were the ones who'd followed him, you know, from the start. His family, his disciples, all those whose lives that he touched, the people that he'd healed, maybe not all of them, but some of the people that he'd healed, those he'd changed forever by the things that he said and the things that he did, those who would then go and want to talk and tell people about this man for the rest of their lives, because they wanted other people to hear about him. They wanted other people to hear what he'd done for them in their lives, because they were telling people, this Jesus can change your life as well. They wanted to tell people that their past could be dealt with up to that point, that their present could be changed, and their eternal future could be changed. Many of them losing their lives and willing to lose their lives so that they could tell people that truth. Well, maybe that's you today in this place. Maybe that's what you're claiming in this place today. That you can say that you have been touched by Jesus. You can say that you have been healed by him in some way. You can say that your life has been changed by him, and you want your life to be a testimony to that. I'm claiming that. That's the one I'm claiming before I walk out that door today. Next to them in the group of people were the people who decided that Jesus was a liar. People that were jeering at him, people that were shouting insults at him, people that had come from miles around just to do that very thing because they wanted to get their voices heard. This man's a fake. This man's a liar. Yeah. Hopefully that wasn't an amen, not at that point anyway. They've heard about him too. They've heard him speak. They've watched him heal. They've heard people tell them what he's done for them. But they've made up their minds in that moment that this Jesus is a fake and they want nothing to do with him whatsoever. In fact, they're going to shout, "Crucify him, crucify him," with everything that they've got. And people today in society are still shouting insults at Jesus on the cross. And they've still heard him speak through other people, like me and you maybe, and they've heard people say, "I believe this Jesus is real. This Jesus changed my life." But they've decided that he's a liar and that he's a fake, and they insult him with jokes about his name. They use his name as a swear word. They insult his cross and make jokes about his cross. Sometimes they'll go out of their way to do it so that people will hear it. And you know what? Oh, Jesus looked out on the people that did it on that day, and he still does, and he still says, "Forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know who I am, because if they knew who I was, they wouldn't shout these things. They'd be on their knees before me." But all of the people that ridiculed Jesus in that way, every single one of them is going to have to come back to the cross again, and Jesus will say to them, "Now what do you make of my cross? Now what do you make of me? Today I will forgive you for yesterday. I will forgive you to right up to this moment, but right now in this moment, what do you make of me and what do you make of my cross? Because, and here's the truth, my love for you will never end, but my patience will." My love for you will never end, but my patience will run out. So today, what do you make of me? Because your past can be dealt with. I can come into your presence, and your eternal future hinges on what you make of my cross. And maybe that's you today. And that might seem harsh, but be sure before you walk out these doors today that that's what you're claiming. Because none of us know how long we have on this earth until Jesus returns. So if you're calling Jesus a fake and a liar, then you claim that today before you walk out of this place. But I can tell you, he is not a fake and he is not a liar. And I can tell you that he will love you always, but his patience will run out. And there were some there today who were bewildered and they were confused by this man. They've heard of him. How could you not hear of him? Thousands went everywhere to hear him speak. You knew he was coming through your town before he even got there because of the chaos, because of the excitement, because of the buzz that was around. And you knew that he'd been to your town long after he left. Why? Because people were healed and the dead were raised and lives were changed. And they saw how much other people loved Jesus, but they just couldn't cross that line. They just couldn't get over that line. There's something definitely special about this Jesus, because so many people are following him and so many people believe in him. They've seen people be touched by Jesus. They'd seen his miracles. They'd heard his words of godly wisdom. And they were there that day looking at the cross, looking at this gentle, kind, compassionate, fascinating man, so badly beaten that he was unrecognizable, the word of God says. His family wouldn't have been able to recognize him if they didn't know it was him. The man that never hurt anybody, couldn't hurt anybody, so cruelly nailed to the cross. And they're looking at him, wondering what to make of this guy. I can't make a decision on this guy. Well, maybe that's you today. and you're looking at the cross, if you like, and you're knowing there's something special about this Jesus, and you're knowing the people in your family say there's something special about this Jesus, and people in this place that you might know say there's something special about him, but you're still undecided. Well, Jesus says the same to you as all the others. Today, your past can be dealt with. I can come into your presence and you're, oh man! And your eternal future can be dealt with forever. I wish I could come and just grab your heart myself and put it in Jesus' hands, but I can't do that. Because he's either real or he's a fake. And here's a truth that I want you to grasp today, if this is you. He's either real or he's a fake. And if you can't bring yourself to call him a fake, then it's time to call him Lord and get down off the fence. Because anything less than calling Jesus Christ Lord is rejecting him. And that rejection will mean your rejection at the time of his coming. And you will eventually be with those line of people, though you think you will or you won't, who say he's a liar. You'll be with them. Then there were those who were there because they were forced to be there. They'd rather have been anywhere else that day than looking at the cross. You've got the Roman soldiers on duty, sitting at the foot of the cross, basically gambling for Jesus' belongings. They'd probably rather been anywhere else than at the cross that day. You've got Simon of Cyrene, this unsung hero that we just heard about before, that Nick, I think it was Nick that mentioned in the scriptures, minding his own business. He's in Jerusalem for the Passover. Suddenly he's forced to help Jesus, this blood-stained, messy cross. He's been forced to help Jesus carry it. He'd rather have been anywhere else that day, I'm sure. But all of them were there, and all of them witnessed the cross, and all of them had to make a decision about this Jesus and the cross, either that day or another day in their lives. Because Jesus was hanging on it for them, just as much as all the other people. And on that day, a Roman soldier does cry out, doesn't he? When Jesus breathes his last, and the earth shakes, and the clouds go dark and black, and he says, surely this man was the Son of God. He might not have wanted to be there that day, but his life got changed forever. Well, maybe that's you today. Maybe you'd rather be anywhere else today than listening to me and hearing all these things about the cross. Maybe you're here out of duty. Maybe you're here out of love because you love the person you're here with. Maybe you're here to please somebody else. Maybe you were forced here. It's once a year. You're going. But ultimately, you are here today, and Jesus is still saying to you today, what do you make of me? Because your past can be dealt with today. I can come into your presence, and your eternal future can be changed. Because I love you, and that will never end, but my patience will. And lastly, there was another group of people, maybe the largest group of them all. And they were the people that were there because they deserved to be. So on the other side of Jesus, we just heard, we had these two criminals. They'd been brought to Roman justice for the things that they'd done. And that justice had said that they had to be crucified. And we hear the story of how one of these men joined in with all the people who were laughing at Jesus and jeering. He joined in along with them. And the second man speaks up for Jesus and he defends him. And he acknowledges Jesus in his own way as being a king. When you enter your kingdom today, please remember me. And Jesus, who didn't deserve the cross, promises this thief who deserved the cross that he'd be with him in paradise. And you know what? That's one of the most ugly, challenging stories in the Bible. And it's an uncomfortable story, because why should this criminal get let off right at the end of his life when good people, good Christians, live good lives and believe in Jesus, and this guy's going to get the same place in heaven? How's that fair? Well, that criminal wasn't the only person that day who deserved the cross, because the people who laughed at Jesus deserved the cross. So did those who were confused about Jesus. So were those who were forced to be there. And you know what? So did the ones who were there because they loved him. Why? Because he wasn't nailed to the cross for any crime. He was nailed to the cross for their sin. He was nailed for the thief's sin, the disciples' sin, the soldiers' sin, Simon's sin, the mocker's sin, my sin, your sin, for the sin of the whole of mankind. present and future. This is just a selection of the sins of mankind that Jesus took the punishment for. And you can add on to that all the most deprived sins that you can think of that mankind does to each other that happens in this world. And you can also think of the not so big sins that we don't really think matter. All of those sins separated us from God and from an eternal life in heaven with God. And this God, who people say can't be a God of love, allowed Jesus to be killed, his son, God himself in the flesh, for all of this stuff. And we all own some of the stuff on here and many, many more sins that aren't on there. And Jesus willingly paid the price for that because of how much he loves you, knowing how painful it would be. That's the power of the cross. No one deserves forgiveness. Nobody deserves anything from God or can earn anything from God. But because of Jesus Christ, we have it by grace. It's a gift by making a decision that he is the truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Through believing in Jesus. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven without believing in Jesus Christ. And today, if that is you and you don't know him, you can be made right with God before you walk through those doors at the end. You can have a new start. You can be born again. Because today we stand at the foot of the cross and he is asking every single type of person that we were represented by that was in the crowds that day, today, right now, at 25 past 11 in Maitland Church in 2019, what do you make of me? Who am I? And before you leave this building, be sure which group you've chosen to be in, because you're claiming it. I'm telling you, you're claiming it. I don't mean that makes me special, because you need to hear it. Because when you refuse Jesus and you deny him and you don't want to know him, you are taking claim of the fact that you are calling him a fake. And you need to claim that. You need to own it. And I hope that wakes you up today, if that is you, because Jesus loves you enough to hang on that cross for you. The cross, you know, we can cling to it. And I'm clinging to it with everything I've got. You can dismiss it, you can pretend it's not there, but you cannot ignore it. At some point in your life, you will face the decision about the cross again. You will. Because you will face Jesus one day, face to face, when he comes to judge all of mankind as the king that he is. And we have until that moment, or until our lives end on this earth, and we none of us know when that will be, to decide about Jesus. Time is limited on this choice. Jesus didn't give us the option that we can ignore it. He didn't give us the option that we can ignore him. And you can leave here today right with God. You can leave here today forgiven, heaven bound, sure of who you are. Or you can leave here continuing to call him a liar. There is no middle ground. Undecided is to be with those who say he's a fake. Because anybody who's undecided is still hell bound until the decision of accepting him in faith is made. That's the truth. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Saved from what, Mark? Saved from a destiny of darkness. Saved from sins that are unforgiven. Saved from being outside of Jesus' blessing. Saved from spending an eternity in hell when all is done on this earth. What have I been saved to, Mark? You've been saved to the forgiveness of sins. Every single sin that you've ever committed, all the weight that burdens you, that you probably don't even realize is burdening you, is like a prison, and Jesus Christ can lift that off you today. Forgiveness for every bad thing that you've ever said, you've ever thought, you've ever done. The stuff that you don't even realize that you've done, said, or thought that offends a holy God can be forgiven, can be wiped clean because of the cross and because you are asking Jesus Christ for forgiveness. And you can give your heart, you can give your life to the one who made you and loves you now, today, and tell him, though you don't understand it all, that you somehow believe in your heart that he died for you and that he rose from the dead. And you can take hold of the miracle that I took hold of and many others have in this place have already taken hold of and can testify to and say, I believe in Jesus. And you know what? I believe that Jesus is convincing somebody of that truth right now in this place. Please do not ignore that voice. Only Jesus can convince you, not me. And you can walk out of this day today, this place today, free. Free from the weight and punishment of sin. And you can begin a walk with Jesus for the rest of your life, continually being changed by him. You can be sure of eternal life in heaven, not hell, when this life is over. And you can have that peace, and that can be yours today, before you walk out those doors. So this is the basic roundup of everything that I've been saying today. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave a short space. And I'm also aware that you may be in here today and you may be a believer and you need to repent because you've come away from Jesus in lots of areas of your life. And you want to put yourself before him as well and ask for his forgiveness. So whichever way the Holy Spirit is touching, or maybe you just want to thank him for the cross. Whichever way the Holy Spirit is touching you today, we're going to take a couple of moments. And then I'm going to read out a prayer. And if you're in this place today and you haven't made that commitment with Jesus Christ, and I know there's people that are, then today is the day I beg you, I plead with you to come down off the fence and claim who Jesus is for yourself. You're going to ask for forgiveness for every sin you've ever committed, including unbelief. You're going to tell Jesus that you are willing to believe he is Lord, that he is God, that you don't understand it all. You're going to ask him to come into your life, the life that he gave you in the first place. And you're going to give the rest of your life to him, to follow him and let him change you. And you can leave here a true child of God, because we hear said all the time that we're all children of God. You hear it in songs. We are all children of God in the way that everybody was made by God, but only true children of God are those that believe in Jesus Christ and claim him as their Savior. And only true children of God will see the kingdom of heaven. That's the truth. So I'm going to leave a moment of quiet, and then I'm going to say a prayer bit by bit. And if you want to say that prayer, repeat it in your heart, repeat it quietly in your mind. You can say it out loud. You can do whatever you want to do. But you can follow that prayer and ask Jesus into your life. And if you do that today, let somebody know, because we want to pray with you. We want to support you. If you want to do it privately after the meeting's over and you'd like to be prayed with in that way, then willing to stay here all afternoon to do that with people. So let's just take a moment of quiet. And then I'm going to pray that prayer bit by bit. And if you want to follow that and say it with your heart, then you just repeat it after me, even if it's just in your head. Here's the prayer, if you want to follow this with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that I have heard the truth about you in this place today. And I believe, though I don't understand it all, that you are Lord. I believe that you died on that cross for my sin. And I ask you now for forgiveness for every sin that I have ever committed up to this moment in my life. And I am sorry. And I repent. I turn around. And I ask you to wash me clean of all of my sin. And I ask you now to come into my life, to come into my heart. And I choose to give my life to you, to follow you, and ask that you will change me, that you will show me how to live. And I thank you for the cross, and I thank you for your truth, and I ask all of these things in the almighty name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. You know, there's an important spiritual dynamic to doing these things. And if it's not just about saying a prayer, it's about making a proper commitment with your heart. And then it's a lifetime of walking with Jesus. And, you know, part of Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth, declare with your mouth. If you've done that, let somebody know. It doesn't have to be me. Let somebody know that you've done it so that we can pray with you. We can celebrate with you. We can praise God with you that you leave here a child of God with an eternity in heaven. Okay, we're going to share communion together. If you've just prayed that prayer, you are welcome to take communion with us. You know, communion was Jesus' way for his believers, his followers, to be reminded of what he did for us all on the cross. And if you're not a believer in this place today, then, you know, I encourage you just to let it pass you by. Nobody's going to be offended by that. But really, you know, the communion is for people who accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so if you've done that today and you came in here and you weren't doing that and now you've done it, you're welcome to take communion, okay? So, Luke 22, verse 7 to 22 says, the Last Supper, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you,